Hello, and welcome to episode 105 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the comic series The Red Mask from Mars, and as always, I'm joined by the comic artist, writer, and creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And when the boy known as Commandy grew up, he clothed himself in denim, walked to the beat of his own drum, and called himself Tony Esmond.
I like that one. To be fair, I was actually trying not to make you laugh there, because we were being the most foulest we've ever been in our lives just before we came on, and you just suddenly changed character and just went full professional on us. I was actually pretty impressed.
Thanks.
Because I was trying to put you off by saying that something had happened in the toilet once.
Yeah.
And you just went full professional. I'm very impressed with you, Vincent, today.
The key to it is something inside of me has died, so I find it easier. After 2 years of this, I find it easier to switch off. How are we, gentlemen?
Very good.
Good, yeah.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, Tony's been out and about. He'll be telling us a bit more about that later.
I've had a good day. Yeah, very good.
You've had a good week.
Yeah. No, it's not been bad, is it?
Yeah, really good.
Dan's been feeling ill and eating bad sandwiches, but we'll find out about that later. Yeah.
It wasn't bad, I have to say. Even though it was cheap.
It's bad. Well, you can't beat a sandwich at 30p, can you? It's not bad.
Yeah. Well, it all depends on what it is. If it's got cucumber in it, it's going to be awful. If you want to know more about that, check out episode 104.
Yeah. Nice callback there, Vince.
Thanks.
Yeah, very good.
On my form tonight, it can only go downhill from here. But the only place that never goes downhill is our sponsor, Comic House. Hey. Yes, thank you very much to Comic House for sponsoring us as always. Help keep the lights on. That's what podcasts say, isn't it?
That is the sort of thing they say, isn't it? Yeah. I like to think we're not really following the crowd of other podcasts. In other words, we're not that professional. That is the sort of thing we can just steal from another podcast and say, isn't it?
Yeah. We're just sat in this musky bunker surrounded by dirty paper. And
exactly.
And thankfully, the good people of Comic House took pity on us. Those of you who don't know about Comic House, it's the marketplace and database where creators, small press creators and indie creators, can buy and sell their comic books. I think it doesn't cost anything to list them, if I'm correct. Yeah.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, and Comic House only takes only a few pence of each one sold, so it's hardly anything at all. You'll see all kinds of amazing indie titles, and also a few bigger names to boot as well. There's some IDW, there's some 2000 AD, some great stuff on there. And it's well worth checking out if you want to help support those indie creators as well. Because it's not just a site where you're seeing indie comics and nothing goes back to the people that are actually making those comics. They're all about supporting small press, which is why we allowed them to join this crazy train that we call this show. Plus, they're also publishing a badass anthology series that Dan's been in and my work is currently in.
Yeah, so, and they clearly hate me.
Yeah, well, they're not the only one.
If you're a creative and you've already got your books ready to go digital, I see no reason whatsoever to not put it on.
Oh, yeah, goodness,
that's another avenue. But then the price thing of paying per monthly and getting to read titles, your chance of people reading your comics so much higher.
And these are the sort of people that help sort of push self-published and small press sort of publishing forward, which is what we need in this time where we are hitting that ceiling, and guys like Comic House are trying to break it. So go and show them some love, comichouse.com. Thank you as always to Pete and the guys for all their support. So we've got a doozy of a show for you this week. We got not one but two bits of audio. That's correct, isn't it, Tony?
I think it is, isn't it? I think it is.
We'll share the second one a little bit later. It's just a little bit, a soupçon. Is that the word? I don't know. I'm just trying to say posh. It's been a long...
You sound like Rimmer from Red Dwarf today.
Never call me a Rimmer.
Rimmer. Well, if you read the books about Red Dwarf, he says he always puts the emphasis on Rim. That's when he says his name, which always makes me laugh.
Oh, dear. I love Red Dwarf. Absolutely awesome. Anyway, this week we had a chance to catch up with the organiser of the event, Cardiff Independent Comic Expo, which is this very weekend. isn't it? This weekend coming. Obviously, if you're listening to an old show, sorry guys, you missed it.
Yeah, fuck you.
But this interview is actually really informative, and Cardiff is ongoing as well. So, you know, there's lots of great stuff. And yeah, so we spoke to Iz McAuliffe, who has been helping out with events and help support the small press scene since like Bristol and things like that, isn't it? You know, she's been helping out with Bristol and Cardiff, and you know. And she's a big 2008.
When did we last see it? Was it the 2000 AD thing? She was at that.
Because she's a huge 2000 AD fan. I think wasn't she part of the 2000 AD podcasts?
Yeah, everything comes back to 2000 AD. Is that one?
Yes,
yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
and she's got a tank girl on her arm.
She has indeed. Oh. Don't we all?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I know a lot of you've been looking forward to it, especially all the listeners who are actually going to be at the event. So but if you're not, there's so much more for you here, so check out this audio of us reprobates just making a mess of things, and Iz McAuliffe being classy and being informative. She does well, doesn't she? She does well,
yeah.
because we're idiots, but she's classy. So
that's
here
great.
So here you go, here we are talking to the organizer of Cardiff Independent Comic Expo, Iz McAuliffe. So here we are with the organizer of this Cardiff Independent Comic Expo. It's Iz McAuliffe. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Iz.
Hello.
She foolishly said she was quite nervous about speaking to us. Why are people nervous about speaking to us?
I don't understand that.
It's kind of like that thing when Clarice Starling goes to see Hannibal Lecter. that apprehension.
Yeah.
That's exactly the feeling I'm having,
yes. Do not turn your camera on.
Okay.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us. Obviously, this is a week. Actually, it's less than a week before the show kicks off. So you're probably up to your neck in organisation and all kinds. How has it been going since you took on this role?
Sorry, nervous laughter. It's totally, totally fine. I'm a sea of calm at the moment. No, I've got I'm flying solo for the first time this year. Since 2011, I've been doing it as a co-production with Mike Ulwood, who you know used to run Bristol Expo forever. And last year he retired, I think I proved I could do half of it. So he said, "On you go then." So and it's actually quite a lot of work, boys. No, it's awesome. It's great. We're fully booked. We're sold out. We were sold out about a month ago. Exhibitors, excellent. We're selling a decent amount of tickets. We'll always get a good footfall on the day, and everything, touching lots of wood, is going to go smoothly because I've got everything up and ready and ready to go. Just loads of little last minute touches now.
Yeah, don't touch too much wood.
No. Oh dear, really?
It's already started. See, unbelievable, nice. Unbelievable.
Classy.
It's classy.
I'm getting all out now because I'm doing one of the panels, so I don't need to be like this. It's family friendly, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Speaking of which,
like one of the many things that this show's got loads of like great sort of small press and independent creators, and me. But,
and some not so great.
Yeah, and Tony's going to be there, so you know you can't have everything. But you wanted to have panels back at this show, didn't you? How did that come about?
Well, I've always been a huge fan of the panel program. I love organising them for a start, but I always, whenever I go to cons, I always try and go to at least one or two because it just gives a bit more of an insight, like an in-depth look into, you know, what the creators are doing, working on, how stuff's put together, what they actually do. And I know it's not like on the top five list of people's reasons to go to a convention, but I think it's an important part. And last year we had no panels, but this year basically with the same venue, Masonic Hall, plug. But I've used the entire venue, including a temple, which sounds grander than it actually is, but it's going to seat about, I think, 50 people. So and we've got panels going on all day, and I'm really, really chuffed. You can't shut me up now, sorry. I'm on a roll.
That's why we've got you here.
Yeah, you've met me, you know I can't stop talking. We've got live sketching, which I nicked mercilessly from Birmingham Bits, as was years and years ago. And it's live sketching, three artists, three flip charts, and everyone gets a raffle ticket when they come in. They've got to buy a raffle ticket. It's just the Hero Initiative. So I wanted to do something for them as well. They can buy as many raffle tickets as they like, and when a sketch is finished, a raffle ticket's drawn, and they, the lucky person gets to take away the sketch. And I used to love that at Birmingham.
Oh, I used to go to that at Bix. Yeah, that was really good. Yeah.
I've got a really nice Mark Buckingham Rose sketch that way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So who you got lined up to draw on that particular panel, or do you just pick them at random on the day?
God no, because I have to like prepare. It's quite hard work, that one. I've got lovely Henry Flint, because I saw him do it at the Lawgiver Con in Bristol last year, and he was brilliant, and he's just a dead nice person. Yeah. I've got Pat Goddard, because he's also excellent and sketching, you know, really good at sketching. And John Davis Hunt, my one of my special guests. He's doing it too.
Cool.
Special guests. How do you get to be a double special?
Don't tell him. So the live sketching, is it one of those things where they have like the camera mounted above and it's projected on the screen, or how's it done?
No, just it's just going to be your flip chart stance. So you'll be able to watch them sketching as they go, and I'm going to be moderating that. Well, I'm not moderating it, but just keeping them talking and stuff. And
it's all a bit of a speed thing as well, isn't it? They have to do it quite quickly as they're talking, don't they? And I think, as I remember it from Bix, people just said, somebody says, I think, didn't someone say to one of them, I'll do the beast? And he went, oh, I can't do that, say something else. And it's a bit like that almost, isn't it? You know?
Yes. And it's got to be family friendly. It's got to be not too obscure, but I will have my tablet in case any of the lads can't quite place.
Yeah,
it's quite random.
Really obscure person. Yeah.
Sorry.
What's the most obscure one that someone's brought up and they've said no way?
Not on a sketching thing, but when I was at the 40th, God, I've been to a lot of conventions, haven't I? when I went to that, Ben Wilshire got asked to draw Prince.
Wow. Okay.
I remember a whole portfolio of Prince drawings. They were really good, and so I had to lend my tablet to Ben for that one because he couldn't quite.
I remember at New York once asking Ron Wilson to draw Master of Kung Fu, and he went, "Which one's he?" And I went, "Oh, okay. How about Iron Fist?" Which I knew he'd already drawn in Marvel 2-in-1, and he went, "Is that the one in the armor?" And I went, "No," and then I went, How about the Thing? And he went, "Yeah, I can draw that one." He drew it like 100 issues. So I just sat and watched him draw that. He was quite happy. Yeah. You have to direct it sometimes towards people. Well, I mean, not all comics writers and readers, you know, read comics. You know, writers and artists read them, do they, sometimes? So you've got to be careful.
And plus, like, the reference you need, like, some characters are quite detailed, or, like, you know, they have certain things about them. And I certainly don't know half the ones that some people talk about, you know. I like to test myself sometimes by drawing a character I've never drawn before, and, you know, unless I've got reference, I'd never be able to just, I know it sounds crazy, I'd never just be able to draw Judge Dredd off the top of my head, because
that's a difficult one though, isn't it, as well,
because you know, there are detail specific parts to him, aren't there? So that'd be a great panel, actually.
Something like Captain America, you kind of think, oh, how many stripes is it? How many, you know, hoops on the shield and all that sort of thing, don't you? You know.
Yeah.
So you're going to be there for that panel. Are you going to be there for all the panels, or I guess you're going to be hovering around like a great unseen power throughout the day?
It's got a big hook when I do my one. It's going to reach around my neck.
No, yeah, that's how I came about asking Tony to do one of my panels for me, because he's awesome, but also because I knew he's done. Tony later, but no, I know Tony done like a load of stuff for the 2000 AD Lawgiver as well, and not Lawgiver, sorry, 40th, and loads of other stuff. So I realised I wanted to do every single panel because I'm
it's hard work, isn't it, doing them all? Sometimes I do I do four at Nottingham, and you do get tired. You know, there's a lot of questions you have to ask, and the filler ones, and, you know, hard work.
I am going to try and do the 2000 AD one, because that's kind of tradition, and I've done quite a few of them over the years at Bristol and, like, various other places, like Thought Bubble and stuff. So I'm going to do the toothy one, but apart from that, I've got to get someone else in to do them because, I'd love to do them, but you've got to do them justice. So I know Tony's the master.
Yeah, I think I'm the second one. I'm number two, aren't I? I think it's the second one. It's
appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What? you've made them 40 minutes as well. Is that right?
Yes, because I wanted to fit more in, so I either had to cut a panel or like squeeze the time down a little bit. So I kind of took the decision to just have more panels.
So what panels have we got at Cardiff then?
We have got. I'm going to move seamlessly to my news page on the website, which is in front of me. I've forgotten. We have got publishing your create your own comic, and that is Emily Owen, who has done the fantastic Brain Seasons.
Is that Emily Barakas?
Yes, it is.
Emily Barakas Owen, yes, that's her. No, she's a really good mate, and I asked her to do. We were talking about it. She's done something similar before, so I asked her very nicely to do the first one at Cardiff. So that's going to be Emily with Dan Harris from Loose Gun. And thinking about it, I shouldn't have asked Dan because he swears like a trooper. So
yeah, we had that. We had a bit of a giggle fest when we did the one at Leamington with him. Yeah.
I heard about that. Yeah. In a censor room. And Milmo is on it too. And, and Mr.
Oh, God.
What?
That is all about just how to proceed once you've created the comic, how you then go forward and push it and stuff and get it published and everything. So that's really awesome. Then we've got,
I really need to get there for that one. I want to get there early enough to see that one.
That's 11. So, yeah. Cool. That's definitely the first one. Then it's The Art of Gaming. I wasn't sure. I might put yours first next, Tony, but I might put The Art of Gaming. I'm not quite sure because I've got
that's
to do
fine. Oh, I see I'm third, aren't I? Sorry. Yeah, you so are, it's Art of Gaming next.
I don't know, but that's not Carpenter. Well, it is Carpenter's Day, so I printed it now, but, you know. anyway, cut that bit out. But yes. So Art of Gaming, which is basically the art of computer gaming, because John Davis Hunt and Lee Carter and Wiggs have all worked in the gaming industry. Lee's just come out to do full-time comic work. He does a lot. He does everything for 2008. He's brilliant. But it's they're different levels of people. Different levels of people. Cut that out.
And there's definitely that, you know, there's a correlation. A lot of those people there are going to be gamers as well.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
You know? So I think it's great to have a panel like that because, you know, you will get that cross-pollination. And like you say, there are a lot of video game concept artists who have always wanted to make comic books.
Sarah Millman used to do video games, didn't she?
Yeah, she's worked on video games, yeah.
Yeah.
I was speaking to Jay Gunn, he does it as well. I was speaking to him today, funny enough. Yeah.
I was going to ask Milmo, but because she's doing the one at the beginning, I thought it was taking the mickey a bit.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, she gets far too much exposure. I don't think we need her on the silly pen. Sorry, Milmo.
Anyway, then it's your creative process. It's inside the minds of artists, creative processes. That's
just quickly back to Art of Gaming. Is I'm a bit, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a bit of an expert in computer games.
Go on.
So just to give you a hand there, computer games, explain them. How about that as a first question? That'd be right, wouldn't it?
Oh God.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep him as far away from that panel as you possibly can.
There's an interesting bit when they kind of get the artist kind of design something on paper, like they draw the character that they want in the game, and there's that translation from making the image into like the 3D model, and there's usually two different artists involved in that. That would be a nice kind of line of questioning to take him down.
Yeah,
that's always found that fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. I've got Dan Marshall is going to be moderating that one for me. Do you know Dan? He used to do the Psychic Cast.
I've listened to the Psychic Cast, yeah.
He's really good, full guy. Anyway, so he's doing that one for me because he's a star. So the creative process one, that's actually a mix of illustrators and graphic designers and comic book artists. So it's kind of a look into how they do what they do and, you know, the process, basically. Which I think is going to be really interesting. So I really want to be around that one if I can.
But, that's great.
So on that, you've got, is it Simon Gurr? Is God Machine doing it? I don't know what that means, God Machine. Yes. Is that a person? That's an entity of some kind. Simon Williams, Sarah Grayley, and Robin Etherington.
Yes.
We're fans of Robins on the show, aren't we?
He's not one of the Etherington brothers, is he?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. And I think there's a sister as well involved somewhere.
Is there?
No, I made that up.
I haven't done the research
yet.
God Machine is really cool. He was an exhibitor actually for the last 3 or 4 shows, and he's exhibited at the Tattoo Con as well. And he's so good. I thought, I'm going to ask him as a guest because he's just brilliant. He's done everything. He's worked for everybody, and he did one of the it wasn't an album cover, but it was some sort of concept art for Faith No More. And I was like, right, you're in.
Oh wow,
nice one. Okay. Is he actually a robot?
No, he looks like a proper rock star. He's really cool. He's a really nice guy.
We might have to have a hair off.
He's got a really good beard.
Is he? Oh, nice.
Oh, we like that on this show.
Yeah. So did you get a lot of passing footfall from like the general public just out for the day and they come give it a check it out? Is there a lot of that?
Yeah, we do. But this year I'm going to also have, I've got an absolute ton of flyers I'm going to give out in the street, like around the corner and stuff.
Okay.
Because it's pretty central to Cardiff, but it's slightly out of the way. So I'm going to get a load of my crew. I've got about 10 crew. They're all brilliant. They all volunteer. They're fantastic. So they're going to give out flyers, and I've got like a banner and all sorts of things. So the marketing is a bit more this year, just because I'm a control enthusiast and I have to be.
Is that because
I know the Comica used to do that? It used to work quite well. I think they used to go to literally the local train station and hand it out to people and stuff. Mm. A lot of footfall from just doing that, you know.
That's good. Yeah,
good idea. Yeah.
We do get a decent, every year we've got a decent amount of people coming in though, because a lot of the cosplayers, I know Tony's a fan, a lot of the cosplayers come in deaf. because they don't bother buying tickets in advance. So we're going to get a good couple of hundred through the door, I reckon, definitely.
Oh, brilliant.
Nice.
Yeah, good news.
It'd be good to see the people kind of going on to see the panels and see how they can make comics of their own, because usually whenever I've been to kind of one of those events, there's usually one or two in the audience that do have a keen interest on doing it. I think we had someone write to the show saying that they went to one and it really kind of, they're going to give it a go.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, really. I mean, with the exhibitors as well, I've tried to get in. Well, I have managed to get in now. I've got two of the, I work for a university in my real day job as an events manager, and I've managed to get two of the students, two courses rather, one in illustration, BA Honours Illustration, and the gaming degrees as well. They're all coming over. They've got a table each, so they're going to be all working on their own, and they're really excited about actually, you know, getting to the con and seeing what everyone else is doing. So
brilliant.
For a lot of them, will that be their first experience of like having a sort of table at this kind of event?
I've heard so, yeah. Some have already done it before in like a smaller like, but more like what, craft fairs, that's like really, but yeah, an actual comic show. It's most of the time, definitely.
Oh, they're going to be hugely excited then.
Yeah.
Well, they seem to be, yeah. The lecturer was, I've seen the lecturer, the course leader, I met him like last week. He's about 12, which is kind of really depressing. But he was really excited, and he was saying that it's just really good exposure for them, really, to see different, because they're just all quite focused on illustration and graphic design. So it'd be really good for them to see loads of the other stuff that's going on, all the comics and all the indie stuff, yeah.
Cool. And then you got a few more left, haven't you? You got the 2000 AD one at 1:30.
Had to do that, yes.
So who's on that one? Is
that is Ben Wilshire, Lee Carter, Mike Collins, and David Roach, and probably about 10 others, because they always rock up anyway. So, but they're the ones I've asked for. So.
If you put a booze on, you can usually get them into any room, can't you? The 2000 AD lot.
Very true. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm expecting a few other. JDH might want to rock up for that one as well, but I'm already using him for 2 other panels, so
cool.
It's a bit cheeky. But we'll see. Yeah, they might just come along. One thought bubble, we had, I think, 10 or 12 people, because they just kept turning up. We were asking them in the bar the night before, so they came along. Yeah.
Cool.
So what's after the 2000 AD one?
Yeah, then you got the sketching, have you?
Yeah, then that's the sketching, and that's going to be... I wanted it right at the end, but then it'll never stop if I did that. So then at the end, I've got Sam Rhodes, who's doing a digital marketing skills for indie creators talk, because he used to work for... I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but he used to work for Google, I think it was. Or was it somewhere?
Yeah, you put Google on the flyer, actually, yeah.
That's him, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, he's similar for Google, but I don't think he's not allowed to use any of that content. You can cut this out.
Yeah,
but yes, okay. It's basically how to... Just market yourself better.
Oh, that should be quite interesting.
So that includes running a Kickstarter, which people will be hugely interested in, I think, won't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I thought it would be nice to top and tail the whole panel program with both, you know, going forward with the Indie Comic idea, basically.
That's a really good idea. Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah. And also, like, panels like that, I think are sometimes overlooked because they don't sound as glamorous as the make your own comic book, you know, or get started in comics. But they're very important for all those people that have started making their own comic books.
Critically,
With those sort of panels, trust me, you can hit a wall.
It's all well and good making the comic. We've got to get someone to bloody read it.
You sound quite bitter, Dan. Are you all right?
Well, that's kind of half the battle, isn't it? Trying to like, making the comics fine, but then you've got to get into people's hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it depends what you do it for, I guess. But yeah, getting people to read your comic is the end game, surely.
Yeah.
Definitely, but that's what the rest of the expo is for.
So. Yeah. Brilliant.
So that's...
So what...
No, you go.
I was going to say, what else have you got on offer? So you've got small press people there selling their stuff. Have you got any local dealers or anything like that as well? Have you?
We've got quite a few local dealers. I've tried to avoid getting people in that just sell the Funkos. Even though the Funkos are brilliant, the show's a bit more than that. I'd like to see.
Yeah.
I want to get like proper. So yeah, we've got quite a few local traders. Quite a few. Like just slightly out of Cardiff, and we've got this is from Mike Olwood's days. We've got Quackers coming back from Taunton, so I think they're our furthest away trader. I think they're pretty much going to be on the ground floor, most of them. They're all independent people. I haven't got any chains or anything like that at all.
Yeah,
real cool. Yeah. That's really good.
I've got a retro gaming area as well, which is really exciting.
Oh, nice. Well, when you talk retro gaming, Tony, it will be a bit more than Pong, so you may not know. What sort of retro gaming are we talking?
We are talking a range of consoles. There's a company called Cardiff Geek Party, so again, it's a local company. They come in, they've got an absolute ton of consoles. They set them up, so I've got 8 stations in the long room downstairs, all set up ready. And it's just somewhere to kick back and just chill out. So they're going to bring just an absolute ton of games. I can't even begin to say they haven't told me what they're bringing. That's why I'm like, wouldn't the question. But it's going to be a range of different consoles and just like, retro stuff. And it's just going to be really nice. And if you can't find me, that's where I'm going to be, I think.
It's good to have an activity like that where people can kind of go somewhere and just unwind and do something as opposed to kind of, everything else. That's good.
Yeah, because that was funny enough because Vince was asking about this before you came on. Is about the green room and what kind of things are being laid on in the green room.
I just need to know what type of caviar, whether the crackers are going to be fully gluten-free vegan space rocket or...
will it be a his and hers massage?
Yeah. Don't let Tony do it.
Bunch of you, Jesus. You'll have a nice sandwich and have done with it.
Oh, right. Did you hear that, Tony?
That's the best.
I'm going to have a sandwich. Ever. I'm going to have a sandwich.
Oh, God, you made his day now.
We look after the creators.
He'll sit there eating his sandwich in my face and enjoying it.
Look, I'm not a monster. I'm not like a Whitney Houston style diva, although I don't do stairs.
Talking of sandwiches, Tony was away in a foreign country and he sent us a photo of him, this lovely view over the sea. And at that time, I was fucking standing on the train platform waiting for a late train and I bought like a reduced to 30p sandwich.
What kind of sandwich is reduced to 30p, Dan?
There was two left and it was like that was.
But what was it?
Tuna sweet corn.
Oh, that's just depressing.
Yeah, it was really depressing.
I did read that out at the Spanish dinner party I was at.
Everyone laughed.
The Spanish dinner party. There we go.
I was going to say wine tasting, but I thought that'd even get fucking worse, wouldn't it?
I thought that was wine tasting with Pat Mills, though, mate.
Yeah, you see, it gets worse, doesn't it?
Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Pat Mills is laughing at me. Fine.
Yeah, you were.
That's made your day, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, more from that in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who was mentioning there? We've got an email from, was it someone like saying, do you want to book so-and-so from Celebrity Love Island to come to the... Come on. You've had any like that is like a kind of...
I, Do you know what? I'll have to confess now, because I don't know if you've said already, but Tony's been my little convention confessional. I've sent him a single screen grab.
Easy.
Because I can't go on Facebook and go, oh, well, I can, but I don't, because I'm paid again. But then I go hinge to Tony. Atomic Kitten was the highlight of my list.
Wow. I was quite keen on that, and I did confide in you that me and Kerry had a relationship in the 90s.
The relationship was
through a telephone lens.
Him to leave her alone.
The relationship was I bought Nuts magazine.
Yeah.
Last week.
Oh, oh dear. But
so yes, I've somehow got on a mailing list, and I was talking to I met you with Nicola Love, who does Glasgow Comic Con, and we were comparing notes, and we basically got the same emails every other day. We've had loads of like the car from Knight Rider, which would be frankly awesome because I grew up with Knight Rider. And we've had Atomic Kitten 5, S Club 3, all of the greats, Liberty X, Trina of the Waves, Power Rangers was a good one too. I got an offer for the Power Rangers.
Oh, did you? Because one of the Power Rangers is going to be Bloodshot in the Bloodshot movie, isn't he? I think he's filming it. Yeah.
Which one?
Or is it Ninjak? I can't remember. I don't know. I don't watch that shit, do I? You know what I mean? The one who did, he was an MMA guy for a while as well, I think.
Oh, that was the Green Ranger guy.
Oh, you pair of wankers.
God, what was his name? What's his name?
I just know him as Green Ranger. I thought that was his name.
We have to catch his name now.
At work, we had to do something the other day, and they split us all up into teams for colours, and they gave me brown team again. They think it's fucking hilarious.
Pretty funny.
I get brown team every time.
Sorry.
That guy's name is Jason David Frank. He was the bloke a couple of weeks ago. Oh. It was at the con, and the fucking guy turned up.
Oh, that's him, isn't it?
With the guns and stuff.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what is, you've missed a trick there, not having the green
I like Test Club.
Next you want to sell out completely, who knows? Yeah.
Just have him take on all of Atomic Kitten.
Yeah. Suddenly it's like an MMA ring and Atomic Kitten like, what's going on here then?
It's a signing. Yeah. No, but as it says on the title, it's an independent comic expo, and this is definitely an event. I think this would be my third year having a table there, and it's definitely one of my personal faves, because it's always just a great time. Now, are there any people that are here this year that is their first time? Because you've got the Cardiff, the Cardiff Mafia?
Yeah, that's him.
Now, they're always worth checking out, especially seeing as a lot of them have like new stuff, like NPCT, and I know the Lou Scannon boys. Is Lou Scannon just had a new fairly?
I think it has, isn't it? Yeah, I think it has. And I think if you'll find, because they are the Mafia, Baracus will bring a fish wrapped in foil. And if you get that, you're dead.
It's actually the Taffia. It's the Taffia.
Nice.
See what I did there. That's amazing.
This is when I get freaked out of Wales, so I'm actually English, so I really shouldn't have said that. I'm regretting it instantly.
Yeah, don't tell the internet, it will kick off.
Are there any creators that like submit that you haven't necessarily heard of before, but then when you're hugely excited about checking out their stuff when they're there?
Yes, I actually had one. I'm really, really gutted because a guy got in touch with me this week, and I went to look at his stuff, and it's absolutely brilliant. I can't fit him in, but I've said like next year we'll definitely get him over, because I love it. Just discovering new people and new things. Yeah. And I've gone to places like Thought Bubble. I mean, it's difficult asking someone who's up in Leeds to come down to a show in Cardiff, but I have gone and asked people if they want to have a table. And a few of them have come from various places. I've got Dundee University coming down next year. They run a master's in, I'm going to get this wrong now, but it's like comic art, a proper master's degree. So they really take it seriously up there. And they have a stall at the Glasgow Comic Con every single year. And they're brilliant. The stuff they're putting out is fantastic.
I know that a lot of them have taken part in that Saltire comic, haven't they, I think?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Some of them have taken part in that since it started. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good. I'm the guys that run it, Chris and Phil, are really massive 2000 AD fans. So that's how we met each other. So yeah, they're the course leaders. So they're going to come down with some students hopefully next year. So, part of the love of this is the fact that I get random emails from people I haven't necessarily discovered yet, and their stuff is amazing. So I've got quite a few I want to check out on Saturday myself, definitely.
Yeah, I know our buddy Nick Prolix is doing a table, isn't he? He's a
Yes,
I think that's his first one with you, I think I'm going to say.
Yes, definitely, yeah. And also Dobes. Sean Dobie's coming too.
Ah, is cool. Dobes going? Nice. I didn't realise that. Oh, good. Oh, nice one.
Signed on the dotted line this week, so, yeah.
Oh, nice. And
just selling his Ace Comic Descending Outlands.
Yes.
Are you getting commissioned, Dan?
I cannot disclose that on this show.
Also, Dave Broughton's going to be there. Is this the first time Dave Broughton's been at Cardiff?
Shame again.
No, he's been a couple of times actually.
He's done some amazing artwork.
Yeah,
I've seen you've been posting some amazing artwork he's done recently.
Oh, he's promo.
Yeah, it's cracking stuff. So
I always look at Dave's stuff and think he must be 5 minutes from the prog. It can't be long before they give him a story in there. Surely, you know,
he is brilliant. He really is good.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
have you got the 2000 AD fanzine guys? You know, they do Dog Breath and those sort of magazines, Bolt.
The Zardrav guys.
Yeah.
They were interested, but they didn't sign up this year. But I'm going to. They have been before when we were in the older venue. The Mercure Hotel, the really fancy pants hotel.
Right.
So they were there a couple of years running, but they haven't been back since. But they want to come next year as well. So we're getting back. Cool.
Brilliant.
Yeah, they're good guys. I saw them at the 2000 AD one, the 40th, but I don't think they had a table there either. I think they were kicking themselves a bit at that one.
Yeah, they should have done.
They'd have done well there. Yeah.
Yeah, Dave's a nice guy. I like Dave a lot.
Yeah, good egg, isn't he? I've known him for years. I remember I first met him, his son was about 5 or something, and now his kid's like towering over him, isn't he? Yeah, they've been on the scene for a long time. And they bring a lot of great artists and a lot of writers through to 2000 AD itself, don't they, I think?
Yeah,
and you see people appearing now. I know we were talking to Al Ewing about it a few weeks ago, and he did quite a lot of stuff with them before sort of properly breaking through at 2000 AD. Yeah, yes. Good eggs. Mm.
And I look at him, God,
it's a family friendly event as well, isn't it, Comic Expo?
It is, yes. I kind of want to make it all ages. We haven't done a lot in the past about making it for the kids, because basically the kids, I sound like an old fart now, but if you get kids into it early enough, they'll keep getting comics.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to get them into the indie stuff as well, because there's some really, Lloyd and the Bear is going to be there. That's the first time that he's going to be. And he's really cartoony. He does superheroes, but as bears, and it's just adorable. So that's kind of a nice little crossover. And I've got a kids' table. Like last year, I had a kids' activity table, and this year I'm going to have the same. And they're just going to, I've got loads of little cut out people and stuff, and they can make their own characters and, you know, all do a bit of colouring in, and the grown ups can do it too. But wanted to make it a bit more, just inclusive, really. Just get everybody in.
Oh, and it shuts them up, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
but you're absolutely right. I mean, in terms of the all ages market, though, how well, and this is just a question to everyone, how well do you think small press and independent comics do at marketing themselves to the younger market? I ask the tough questions on this, Joe.
That's a tough question.
What do you think?
Oh. I think some, obviously, like with everything, some do better than others. I think it depends on the nature of the product, though, doesn't it?
The problem is I'm so disconnected from that scene. You know, I don't know. I really don't know. I think there's more comics sold in the bookshop market for kids than there are in comic shops.
In some ways, but then you'll get a couple of guys like the Etherington brothers, who are essentially two cans of Red Bull that someone's just shook up and then opened, and they're just enthusiasm, and they're all about. I mean, Dan's mentioned it before. Their tutorials, their books, are so good. You know, for
well, I know that Laura Trinder does, while she writes kids, you know, does kids comics, she does like workshops in Waterstones and stuff like that. And I think they're very much of a similar sort of breed, aren't they? They get the kids together and, you know.
I mean, have you had much in the way of requests for workshops?
No, none at all. That's what I want to expand that next year. I wanted to bring back the panel program this year and see how that went, and then work on it. But I want to get more, definitely activities.
Yeah, because you don't want to spread yourself like too thin on the first. You know, it's best to get the panels back and get them all working before trying to do everything.
Did you show this year alone? That's why also I'm kind of like going, I don't want to throw everything at it. So.
Yeah.
I will do, definitely.
Here's a little tip you can have for free. Is, I don't know if this, you know, just have it for free off me.
Here we go.
Is if you've got a kids area and you've got someone from, say, let's say Blue or Love Island or, you know, Celebrity Big Brother or something, then why not say, yeah, you can come along, but you've got to do the kids corner.
That's genius.
Yeah.
That's genius. Dude, you're amazing. You should go into the band organization.
I could see Kerry Katona dressed up as a bear or something, you know, can dancing you imagine, about.
Can you imagine the hellscape would be the event that Tony Esmond organises? I tell you what, it'll be sexy.
The kids will come back. Mummy, I didn't draw any comics, but I know how to lap dance because Kerry showed me.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. To be fair, though.
Dragging it back on track. Yeah. I want to get Phoenix. Ideally, I want to get the Phoenix comic to come down next year and do some stuff.
Brilliant.
I haven't even started to talk to them about it yet, but they do a lot of really good stuff. They do.
Do they do bubble. Many sort of shows as a sort of publishing collective?
I don't think so.
No, I see a lot of their creators, for instance, like the Etherington Brothers or Jess Bradley. You see them at shows with their Phoenix books, but I can't think of many where the Phoenix have been as a publishing collective. That'd be that'd be amazing if you could get them.
I think they do workshops in Waitrose, don't they?
That's very posh.
it's where Dan shops.
Posh.
I don't have much choice around here, trust me.
Yeah, you 30p tuna and sweet corn.
Yeah,
we need reduced sandwich. You don't really know, I agree with you, Dan, Vince, you don't really see that much, do you? Think they'd have a little banner, you know, somewhere like Nottingham or Cardiff now, you know, where it's a big kid friendly event. You think, you know,
yeah, get them in. I guess there's to be a lot of children's first kind of getting to see this kind of stuff, because obviously they wouldn't, up to a certain age, they won't be allowed to go on, well, ideally, they wouldn't be allowed to go on social media too much.
No.
So it might be their first kind of taste, as it were, of this kind of comic world. And like you said, if you kind of get them interested when they're young, you'll hopefully get them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And I think Flying Eye, bear in mind they've got the Hilda cartoon coming out next year. I know they're gearing up to do quite a few things like that.
Yeah.
And I think that'll do well for them. Yeah, they'd be worth bearing in mind for next year, I think, for you. Is, you know.
Oh, definitely.
They're really going to take off next year with that cartoon out, you know.
Yeah. I mean, running an independent comics event is much like, it's very much like having an independent comic, isn't it? You know, because you constantly got to shout, you got to, you know, market yourself. With this first year of you sort of like running the ship, as it were, how have you found the marketing phase of it?
To be honest, I did an awful lot of it last year. Mike did all the clever stuff. He did all the financials and the booking of people and stuff, but I did all the social media last year, so I've just kind of built on it really, and got myself listed in more like Cardiff-based, got the poster got the, you know, got all the Buzz magazine and all that, and all the groovy stuff, and out in Students' Union, got all the flyers out there. So I've pushed it more this year, but that's because I invested a bit more in the budget just because I think it's worth it, because it'll get more people in, you know. So
Focusing on that local crowd, isn't it? You know, you
it's the only way of doing it. There's so many comic conventions. People don't tend to travel that far to them now, do they? You remember the old days when it was all we had was Bristol every year.
Yeah.
It was like a pilgrimage, wasn't it? You know, now you can go anywhere you want. There's probably a couple that weekend, I would suggest, are there?
Hmm.
Well, and there's two others going on in Cardiff anyway. Not that weekend, but there's that element I've got to juggle with as well. So, it's not a hard sell. It's just you just need to give the time to it, and I've just tried to do that as much as possible, really, and get more visible than we have done before. So
yeah.
Do you find that while you're organising this, obviously you're into it because you love comics, do you find that you don't read quite as much as you want to? Because you get home and you think, oh, I'll read a comic, and you'll think, oh, I should really be contacting that creator. You know, because it's like a part-time thing you do, isn't it? Yeah,
it's bad. I've got I get a lot of my comics digitally now, so I can carry them around me, so I can read them when I have a break at work or whatever. But I don't read as much as I used to. Definitely not this year anyway. So I'm horribly behind on 2018, for example, which I shouldn't say because after the guests of 2018,
you still got time. You still got time.
Yeah. I'm reading them, but I'm reading them, and if I go on a long train journey, I'll always take a load of stuff on my tablet.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's less than I used to, which is kind of a, you know, it's a shame. But after the con, I'm going to do nothing for about 2 months. So I'm going to do loads of
I mean, is it just you again next year, do you think? Do you think it'll be on your shoulders again for the next year one?
I'm happy to do it on my own, but I'm thinking I've got a few people in mind, I might ask to kind of form a little bit of a committee.
Right.
So that, so we can go hopefully even bigger and better next year. So that's the idea. I'd like to get, I think doing it on your own is quite, it's been tricky. I'm an event manager in my day job anyway, so I've probably taken to it a bit better than some people would, but I know most of the conventions I know is a team. So I'm gonna have a little posse, I think, next year, hopefully.
Yeah, if someone could step up.
Yeah. To be fair, it's people occasionally, we get it occasionally, where people have got to remember that we kind of do this for fun as well.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Mm. We're not making millions out of this, are we? You know, I'll get the odd free comic, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So
be gentle to Iz on the day, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, Vince, don't be demanding around your sandwich of choice.
Yeah.
You know me. Any freebie makes my day.
That is true. That is very true. Oh, yeah. I remember going to one convention and you went, look, you get free water at this one.
And you get free water in mine as well. We're getting jugs of water everywhere.
Do you know what? I'm jugs of water. Oh my word! Very classy.
No expense spared, mate. Not for you.
I just want to let everyone know that I'm not a diva. I'm not a despot. I am a normal human being, and I appreciate everything I get.
I remember covering Lambo's table at New York one year, and there was like a free bottle of Comixology water, and I thought, I wonder how I can get that back to England. That's really cool. I thought, fucking grow up, it's a bottle of water.
Oh dear. Right, we had a little poll as Iz was coming on, and the question was, what do you like most about going to the smaller independent comic conventions and festivals? People sort of say there wasn't enough choices, but it's a poll, people. Get over it. That's all I gotta say.
I do generally think people say let's have a poll so that they can literally just give you shit about the choices you've given.
I know it's quite hard to come up with these answers, but right, so the four options that people had, this is to the group as well, what do you like most about going to these events? Discovering new comics, meeting the creators, back issue sellers, and the atmosphere. I don't know why I said that like Alan Partridge, but yeah.
You're going full Partridge again today, aren't
you? What do you guys love about events like SICE and beyond?
You go first, Iz. If it's not necessarily your convention, but if you're going to one, what would you choose? Okay.
I would say the first, second, and fourth one.
Oh.
So you're not too fussed about back issues?
Not back issues, because if I like a comic, I tend to buy it then and there anyway. I don't go looking for... I like discovering new stuff.
Yeah.
And new stuff fresh off the press or whatever. But I mainly go to, discover new stuff and see people. And just, hang out with like-minded nerds and geeks, really.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, the atmosphere can play a big part, even though it's not necessarily something that everyone talks about. But if the atmosphere of an event is really down and everyone's like, oh, God, you don't want to be there, do you?
That's normally the people on either side of us, strangely. I don't know why that coincidence has happened.
Yeah, true. What about you, boys? What do you like?
It's great to come across a new comic and like a new creator that you're like, oh, where's this come from? So you try and keep a kind of your eyes open to see like what's about, but then when someone's like not on social media and they just pop along to the show with a new comic, it's great. It's really it's like, yeah, find a diamond in the rough. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Although, do you find that frustrating that sometimes you see an amazing creator at a show and you can't follow up their work if they're not online in any sort of way?
Yeah, that happens occasionally now, doesn't it? You see it occasionally. Yeah. More with some of the bigger names, you know, or maybe the European names or something like that, I suppose.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. For me, going along and meeting, because they're kind of my rock stars, really. My movie stars are the writers and artists, you know, and I like that interaction. Although I am still to this day a little bit nervous of some people because I think, oh, I really like your work, and if you turn out to be a right twat, it really put me off.
It'll tarnish it.
Yeah. Naming no names, me and Vince were quite excited to see someone at a convention in the last year, and they turned out to be just like incredibly boring, didn't they? Do you remember, Vince?
Yeah. Yeah.
We kept trying to have a conversation with them, and they kept just like looking at us like we're, well, clearly we are a pair of idiots, but looking at us like we're just like. Yeah.
They didn't humour you.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. And I demand that. Yeah.
It doesn't stop the work being amazing and like, I still love it. But at the same time, there is that small sense of disappointment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Who's been your favourite
Sorry, mate?
Who's been your favourite? I said, go then. Who's your favourite creator that you've met?
Me?
Yeah. And all of you?
It's got to be Pat Mills, to be fair. Because. Like, I've always admired his work, and then we turned into, you know, and we're now pals. So, yeah. I suppose, you know, there's at the moment so many. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of me and a couple of creators that I have on the wall here, and I thought, you know, Neil Adams, although he's a bit crazy, was really nice to me, and you know, I don't know, so many people really. Jim Starlin, my God, so many. Yeah, but
it's Dan Butcher.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
that's all right, Dan. I thought one of us should get a bit of play because Tony's just been name dropping a load of.
we haven't got to the worst encounters yet.
Oh, that's true. That'll be another show.
We've talked about many times that guy bringing over that Red Riding Hood comic.
Yes, that's my favorite.
That's pretty bad. Yeah.
Oh, what about you two? Who's been the? He's got. Isn't it Alan Davis for you? I would say guest.
Alan Vince. Davis was amazing because he was just really nice, and I didn't fall to bits.
Yeah. And you sat with him, and you did actually touch his leg. You told me at one point.
No, I never. It was his chest. No. No, it is nice when you meet these creators that. Are really sort of down to earth, and you know, even though we do think of them like rock stars, don't we? But they are just people at the end of the day, just with a job that we happen to like their work. That's all it is. But if you look at it on paper, it's literally their job, and we love it. So
yeah.
What about you, Dan? I bet I know Dan's.
No, well, I said when we went up to see Frank Cho and Marv Wolfman, it was kind of.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I got absolutely hit by that fanboy dislike.
I couldn't talk to Cho. I completely bottled it. I completely bottled it.
Yeah. More so, Frank Cho. I was like, there's some part of me was hoping that we didn't get to speak to him because I thought I'm gonna fall to fucking bits.
What about you? Who have you met that's impressed you?
My favourite encounter, and I proper fangirled out like an absolute arse, Garth Ennis at New York Comic Con.
Oh, nice.
He was so lovely, and he shook my hand, and he's built like a fucking brick shithouse. He's massive. And he's got a really firm handshake, and I just wibbled and went, oh, I love you, and he's like, oh, stop talking, please.
Where was that you met him? Sorry? Where was that you met him?
New York Comic Con.
Oh, right, I didn't know you'd been to New York.
I've been twice, but years ago. I haven't been for a good 7 years, I don't think. But I went 2 years running, and he was there, and he was packing up. And my mate dragged me over because I was like, I'm not doing it. And he stopped, and he's heard my accent. And he's like, oh, you come quite far. And I was like, yeah. I just couldn't stop giggling. But if I could ever get in to one of my shows, I'd definitely do it. But he
is he living back here now? Because I know he lived in New York for quite a while, didn't he?
Hmm.
I thought he was in New York.
Right, could still, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because the Higgins, me name dropping now, John Higgins was saying he went to see him when he did a New York show just recently. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. Really nice one.
Yeah, cool. Anyway, poll results.
Yes.
Now, don't apologise. It's these other two that run the show off the rails a bit. Now, fourth with 8% was back issue sellers.
To be fair, though, I wouldn't go to a small independent comic show looking for back issues.
I agree with you, but I think sometimes when we talk about these things, we neglect the back issue. Bin divers. Which...
I like at least to come away with a little pile of dirty paper that, you know, hasn't cost me much. Yeah.
It'd be nice to have that as a standard, like one stall that sells that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One good stall that doesn't just sell, like, trade paperbacks for, like, 20 quid a pop.
Yeah. Especially if you've got some old school creators, you know, or American guests or something like that, and you think, oh, I didn't realise that such and such is at this convention, I'll go and buy, and you know, that issue of Spider-Man or the Avengers.
Or for instance, like with the 2000 ADs, you know, you've got a whole
load.
If there's like some way you can get 2000 AD back issues, it all ties in, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah, because I did that at the 40th, didn't I? I went and bought an issue and got it was great. I liked that. That's a shame.
In third with 17% was the Atmosphere.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah. And there wasn't too much between the top two. In second with 31% was Discovering New Comics, but the winner was Meeting the Creators with 44%. And I think that's normally with independent shows. Certainly before I was exhibiting, you know, the best moments I had going to comic cons was meeting new people and chatting to them, and just you know when you have that great interaction with someone, you know, it can just make your day, can't it?
Yeah.
Unless you're talking to me.
And definitely if you're talking to me.
Now, we put out a small shout out as Iz was on the show. We said, do you want to ask her anything? So I know she's probably a little bit nervous about this bit.
I had to create quite a few fake Twitter profiles, and you ignored all the questions I sent in.
Now... First one is from Emily Baracus Owen. It's not really a question. She says, I don't want to ask anything, just tell her I love her. Isn't that nice? Isn't this a loving?
I love that girl.
Get a room. Now, PJ Montgomery. He asked, another great creator, Troll Tooth Wars. Be sure to pick it up when you go to Cardiff.
Oh, yeah, I've got to buy that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. He said, would you like a coffee before the show starts? I think I'm on the coffee run again.
God, yeah.
It's a bit forward of him.
Yeah. Well, but at the same time, he is offering to buy her a coffee.
Yeah. Admit the only Vince's only reply to that is, what am I, chopped liver?
Vince is getting a sandwich. He's happy.
Yeah. And a free bottle of water, Dan. Come on. I'm living the life. Right.
Paddy's other half is one of my volunteers, and she's an absolute diamond, so I really should do a little shout out there and say that I love Lisa too.
Lisa is awesome. I always have a laugh whenever I talk to Lisa. She is awesome. Now, a couple of actual genuine questions. First, Comics Anonymous, they ask, is it getting harder to hold a convention given how many we see fill up the year and the number of available comic guests?
Yes, is the short answer.
Did you just drop all your Scrabble tiles? Is that what we heard just now?
It's what's tricky is, and we've talked about this, me and Tony, on the Twitters and on the Facebooks and that, and you lot as well. It is really hard. There's more and more coming up. The genuine ones like Cardiff, because we are a genuine, we love comics. That's why we, the Royal We, that's why I run it, because I love comics and I want to keep shouting about it. But there's a lot of the pop culture cons cropping up with the word Comic Con in the title, and that's a whole other show. And I know you've already done a few shows around that anyway. it's the timing. We're not going to go away anytime soon, put it that way, because I said before that Cardiff already got like two other cons, one being Showmasters. So as long as we time it right, and that's it, we can't like sit on other people's dates because that's just rude, really. So next year I've got to change the date for Cardiff because another very, very good, awesome IndieCon is running on the same date. So we've got to move it around. I'll just find a different date, but not clash with Glasgow, not clash with all the others. So it's giving each other room, really. And
Are you in communication with?
Yeah.
Are you in communication with a lot of different organisers just so you get all get on the same page?
Some, yeah. I mean, that Facebook group actually is really useful. The Real Comic Convention we love. So I'm pally on Twitter now with like Leamington Comic Con, and we keep shouting about each other and Glasgow Comic Con and stuff like that. So I mean, not that Glasgow's going to detract from my audience, but I want to go to Glasgow selfishly because it's one of my favourite cons ever, hands down. But it's, yeah, and now Bristol's not around. Mike was thinking about bringing Bristol back, but he didn't this year. So I don't know, if Bristol decides to come back, then it is an issue, but it's just common sense, really. But we've got to work out when we can run, not clash with other people, and help each other out, really. So the genuine cons, I think, are pretty good at that. And it's not a competition.
Yeah.
So we love it. But yeah, with the comic guests, like I personally can't, because I'm not for profit, so whatever I make on the con, which may be, you know, very little, if, you know, whatever. So, but I just put it back into the con and I get in other guests, but it's got to be UK-based. I can't get US-based guests.
Yeah.
Because we just want to, you know?
Yeah.
So it's juggling, basically, but it is, it's the amount of Comic-Cons now are ridiculous, really.
Well,
the thing I noticed with you is, as well, is that you're tapped into the 2000 AD crowd more than a lot of the other conventions.
Yeah.
I think it's a real ground to be researched with people who work on 2000 AD, not naming any names, but you do see the odd guest at them all, you know, these days. And I think that people don't tend to go to look at 2000 AD to find people, because there's loads of great people there, all UK based, you know, who we should be sort of asking more, I think. I know Glasgow did it recently. Glasgow did it yesterday, didn't they? They had a sort of 2000 AD themed event, and Wagner and Mills and a few other people. But yeah, I think there's, and I'm hoping that's the way it's going to go more. Are you looking to get 2000 AD down to it as well?
Eventually, one day, that would be awesome. I mean, they actively go to overseas because they're trying to expand their market, which makes complete sense. They don't tend to do that many conventions anymore. They do Thought Bubble, don't they? Because that's the daddy.
Yeah,
that's the goal. That's what I want Cardiff to be in about, I don't know, 5-6 years time, whatever. That'd be amazing. But
they
don't tend to, because I mean they're a small company as well, so they've got to, they've got to be reasonable and see what sort of audience they can get. But I'm working on them. I'm trying to get them down in the future. Hopefully, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a shame, you know, because I didn't do Thought Bubble last year, but I did New York, and the only convention I came across a 2000 AD stall was at New York.
Okay.
And you think they're Oxford based, aren't they? So it's not a million miles from a lot of conventions. You know, it'd be nice just to see a table full of, because they do that whole three for the price of two trades, don't they? Normally at Thought Bubble,
yeah.
And I think it's quite a good draw to the table, and they have their own signings at the tables and stuff like that. I'll have to check to see if they're doing London Super Comic Con, because that would be good.
They were there last year, weren't they? I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So one more question before we let you go. Now, Bryony Evans, I hope I've said that right. She's going to be there with the Wine and Zine, I believe. Part of that.
Wine and Zine.
This is the four creators who've joined together, aren't they? Who did that silly picture of them all making a face I saw the other day.
They've done a gender swapped sort of fanzine, haven't they, which looks awesome. So you've got like Rick and Morty and Harry Potter, but all the roles are sort of reversed and stuff. That looks great, actually. That's on my shopping list.
I had dinner with Bryony many years ago, and then we discovered she sat next to me at a group dinner at Thought Bubble. She's very funny. Yeah, she's a good creator.
Oh, and she's still talking to her, amazing.
A lot of people do.
her question is, the biggest, and this is almost ties into what we were just talking about, the biggest Comic-Con in Cardiff is Showmasters, and indie creators no longer go there. Do you think Cardiff's comic industry will grow?
No.
No. It's not just me who asks the hard questions.
See, I went to a Showmasters event today. Like the Comic Mart is a Showmasters event.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, it's run by the same people.
Sorry, I said traitor, but I said...
Oh, yeah, sorry, Judas. Yeah, but the... I think it's... I don't know the show. It's certainly Mike Conroy organised it. But the they've started having small press at the Comic Mart. They had two or three tables at it today. Yeah, that's quite... Beyond the Bunker was there and another couple of guys who I didn't know. Which is... I'm really interested to see. I know... who did the last driver? Chris. Chris... what's the name of the company?
Canary.
Dead Canary, sorry. They did a Comic Mart a couple of months ago as well. So it'll be interesting to see if they are going that way at Comic Mart. So I know the footfall... those events has been terrible up until recently, and then today it was like a huge queue to get in, so I'm hoping they did well out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think if there are the events, then the comic industry, you know, will grow. I mean, Cardiff has just been thriving over the past like sort of 5 years,
you know. Yeah, it's a real spawning ground of creators at the moment, isn't it? It really is.
And it's good to know that obviously SICE is still going, so because they'll have an avenue of somewhere they can go where they're not going to have a soul destroying time, they're actually going to have a good time and be at a good event. I think that always helps a creator just keep going, doesn't it? Or like, you know, and that in turn I think they influence other creators, other potential creators. Do you know what I mean? If you've always wanted to make a comic and one of your friends is making a good, you know, they're having fun doing it, and there's a local event they can go to, sometimes that could probably be a turning point to turn someone into a fully fledged.
Yeah, I do. We do hear people say to us, "Oh, you should try such and such. That's actually quite a good convention." And we're like, "Oh, right." Then the word does get around. I think is, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, it's definitely a word of mouth thing for people who are buying tables off you.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think I've got quite a few people that heard about me from True Believers and Leamington Comic Con.
Oh, cool.
So I think that Emily Baracus Owen's been basically my thing, to be honest with you. I think she's been painting me. Word does get around. I think Showmasters is never going to go away, definitely an audience for it. But I don't know if you know this, but because we started in 2011, Showmasters came on the scene in 2013. They were an October show, we were a March show. And at the October show, one of the creators contacted me and said, Showmasters announced a second show, so now they're running two, and it's going to be March next year. So we had to close for that year because there's no way we could complete. It was on the same weekend and everything.
Okay.
And actually, there's a bunch of the small press creators, quite a few of whom we mentioned already, actually lobbied. They wrote a letter to Mike, a joint letter, and said, please, can you bring the expo back? We were going to come back anyway, but we just had that year off because it just seemed the right thing to do. But they actually lobbied. We don't want to go to the Showmasters one anymore because they don't respect people as much as some of them are fine, and I'm not slagging off. I am slagging off the entire conversation. We didn't. Not professional, but they don't, in my opinion, the bigger cons don't treat the creators as they should, and they don't provide
instant
platform. You stick them upstairs, and that's why Expo is really important, because I bloody love comics, and I want more people to discover stuff. So if I can help shout about it, then I will. So
I think what you're doing, and amongst the group of people who are running the smaller, not smaller, but the comic centric events, so there's you, Nottingham, Leamington, True Believers, Thought Bubble, ICE, you know, I think as long as you guys are all in contact and you guys are sort of talking to each other and spacing stuff out, I think that's what matters, because these other things are just fucking shite, aren't they? Let's face it. who cares about somebody who was once in fucking Stargate Atlantis? I couldn't give two shits. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when it's about comics, you then apply to the comics crowd. You know, the small press, they may go to these events, but they do it for sales, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The difference between the events is the difference between a fad and a passion, isn't it, really?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And like, you know, these independent events, much like SICE, is just all about everyone that's going to be there loves comics and they love what they do. And it's, I cannot wait for the weekend.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, yeah.
So,
yeah, definitely.
Before we let you go, if anyone wants to find out more about this event and sneak in on the day, where can they find out more about it?
Oh, right, okay. Our official website is Sicce Events, that's CICEevents.wordpress.com. Tickets are closed now online, but there are tickets available on the door. So all the information of guests, exhibitors, that's on the website. and we are on Twitter and Facebook as Cardiff Expo as well.
Cool. And I think some people have asked, haven't they? I've seen you the couple of messages, people saying, I haven't had my ticket, but basically their PayPal receipt is their ticket. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. So they need to print out their email or just bring it along on the day. And I'm going to do a little reminder about that on the lead up, because, every year we have people that kind of miss that on the website. That's fair enough. So
Yes.
And if you're a creator who's actually going to be at the event, recently I changed my Twitter avatar to be a little badge saying I'm at Cardiff Independent Comic Expo with the bait. So I'm trying to create something viral that isn't a disease. So
I've been to cons and like the bio like or the avatar's nothing like what they look like, if you know what I mean. So I was like, I don't know who that guy is or that guy. Obviously I know you, Tony, but
no, sometimes I'm old age Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You sometimes meet someone and say, oh, that's so and so who does the blah blah comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a bit older than their avatar, aren't they? they put a bit of weight on.
Yeah.
So if you're an exhibitor, steal my avatar and use it for the next few days before the event. You know?
After the event, steal that avatar of him looking like a rubber headed weird thing. And use that.
That was not me. That was a rubber-headed weird thing.
I know. It looks a bit like you, though.
Tony, be careful, because I know Photoshop and I've got photos of you.
You've done a picture of me and you merged, like we were some weird creature.
Wasn't Tony appearing in the upcoming Spider-Man film?
The Tinkerer.
We've got so many pictures to send you. They'll change your life.
But, I'm slightly scared and quite excited at the same time.
That's what this show's all about.
Oh dear! No,
thank you very much for joining us, Iz.
Yeah, long cheers, time Iz. Coming, because we missed out on last year, didn't we?
Yeah,
because Vince's internet.
And it was my fault. The one day that I lose my internet is the day that we were going to talk to Iz. I was gutted.
Yeah.
So yes, we finally made it, and you will be back. And now you don't need to be nervous because you know it's a load of old tosh.
We might do a little interview with you on the day. We might pull out a microphone and see how your stress levels are.
Oh, yes. No, let's do that. So people can follow up this episode and see how she actually was. Yeah, just to make sure she's okay.
Nice little follow-up. Yeah.
I just imploded on the day instead.
Yeah, are we going to the pub afterwards or the day before or something?
Roger. That's why I do it. The whole show is just a reason to go on the piss later.
Oh dear! Well, that would be interesting. We'll probably get audio from that.
Yeah. I sent a message to Emily earlier and said if I'm not in the pub by 7 o'clock with a large glass of gin, I failed.
That's what people feel like after this show.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much, Iz, and to all you out there, come along to Sice. Is it Sice? Is that the way you say it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what all the cool kids do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me, and yes, please do everybody come along, and it's just awesome. And yes, come and share the love of comics.
Nice
one. Brilliant. Nice one.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
So there you have it. As you can tell, we're hugely unprofessional, but she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, she's very organised, isn't she?
And all jokes aside, it's going to be a cracking event.
I'm really looking forward to a fantastic show.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to head down to Cardiff before, Tony?
Not for a convention. I've been there quite a few times at work, but not a convention.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great.
I'll tell you about after the show, but I've been down there socially a couple of times. It's a good town, actually. It's a good place to go down there, actually.
It's a nice place.
Stag to Cardiff years ago.
Oh no.
Obviously only see a certain side of it there.
What side did you see, Dan? Go on. Do you want to talk about it?
Come on. The rotten underbelly.
Was that one of the clubs you went to?
Could well have been.
Other clubs are available.
Yeah. Yes. This carpet's all squelchy. Anyway, it's gonna be a great event, and I can't wait for it. And hopefully, if we're gonna try and get a bit of audio if we can, aren't we, Tony?
Yeah, that's the plan. I'll bring the microphone with me. We'll get a couple as we normally do.
Nice. So we'll
just make up. Yeah, like we did in 2008.
Right now we're going to talk a good game, but next week expect two bits of audio clips that are probably only half decent.
One will be with John Byrne, the other will be with George Perez, neither of whom will be attending the convention.
You think at the end of the day, oh, we didn't do any interviews. And then...
That's what we do, isn't it?
Yeah. 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 Well, I'm sadly eating a sandwich.
Mm. Nobody's paying us for this shit, are they?
but we love it.
Yeah. We do. Yeah.
And another thing we love is Pat Mills.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We've got an extra bit of audio that we're going to show you in a little bit. So
yeah, surprises in it. He ekes out some things that are coming up. Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't just have a great bit of audio with an independent event organizer. We've also got Pat Mills. You know, we're nice to our fans, aren't we? Or listeners, or whatever they're called. I feel uncomfortable when I say use the word fan. It's just... Ooh.
Well, it's a damn right lie, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Witnesses, that's probably best.
Yeah. you know, you drive past a car crash and you look out the window. That.
Yeah, yeah, we are that. But Tony's going to tell us a bit more about that in a minute. But before that, do we have any shout-outs, gents?
Yeah, I've got a couple. One for the sort of long view for your diary is there's an event coming up at Wimbledon Library, a comics event, which I'm very much looking forward to. It's run by Rick Jackson, who's a friend of ours. And so put it in your diary for the 11th of November, Wimbledon Library. It's going to be a comics event there. I think a one-day event. And Rick's got some plans he's sharing with us as he's sort of planning out. But something for November. And then the 15th of July, between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m, is a small press signing at the Incredible Comic Shop, which is in Swindon, 21. Is it Brunel Plaza? I think it is. Because you should know, Vince. You're going to it, aren't you?
Yeah, but I haven't got the. No, it is in 22A, the arcade in the Brunel Centre.
Ah, yeah. Okay, cool. And it's organised by our friend Sarah Harris, and she's organising it for the local shop. I think they've moved into a bigger premises.
They said,
we've got room now for some small press. They said, would you mind sort of organising something and getting some small press books and creators along? Nick Prolix is going to be there as well. Who else is coming along to it? Matt Garvey?
Of Chunks. Sarah Dunkerton and Matt Gibbs, creators of Mulp. Gav Mitchell.
Gav's doing it, is he?
He'll have the Troll Tooth Wars with him. Emily Baracus-Owen.
Owen.
creator of Brain Shoodles. And, Prolix and me. I'm going
to
be there.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get down to it as well, so it sounds like a grand old affair. Yeah.
I will say the shop looks really nice, actually. It does look really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, don't be put off by the fact it's Swindon.
No.
We love Swindon, really.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great day. I think it's from 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock. The actual
it's getting a lot of buzz as well. I'm seeing it on a lot of sites at the moment. And it's to time. I know it's not exactly on Small Press Day, isn't it? Because I think that's the day that it's sites, but
yeah.
It's to time with Small Press Day and sort of celebrate all the great small press books. And it's getting a lot of heat. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's going to be great, and it's going to be good to. I love the idea of a new comic book shop just opening up their arms to independent creators and stuff and local creators and stuff. That's just, we need more of that, don't we?
Brilliant.
And they from the sounds of it, the shop owners are properly up for it. They're looking forward to it. You can find out more about them at theincrediblecomicshop.co.uk. So there you go.
Yeah, and there's an article on it just gone up on Down the Tubes as well.
Yeah.
The John's put one up on there, which is very good.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at that. It sort of lays out who's who and what's what.
Yeah. I had to send a picture of my face.
You did, yeah.
Yeah. So, I kind of look like, did that come with a prize?
Yeah.
But, Curious Vince. Oh, I've heard of that before.
There's a lot of beard action in those pictures, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's six people going, four people got beards.
Yeah, so it's Vince, Nick, Emily. Oh!
oh, dude.
He's going to kill me.
You're dead.
For that.
You are dead. we're going to take a collection for Tony's eulogy.
Yeah.
So,
he knows I don't mean it.
Yeah. But yeah. I tell you what, though, if she does beat the hell out of him, I'm going to get the audio this weekend.
Yeah. At least we'll get some audio.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah.
Just with me going, oh, now his head's gone.
Oh, look at that, there's a tooth. So you can have the Troll Tooth Wars and you can have the Baracus Tooth Wars. Be fine.
Oh dear. Anyway, are there any other shout outs? You stole mine, Tony. That was going to be mine.
Oh, sorry. I've only got one other. I went to the Comic Mart. Yeah, you just heard me talk about it with Marvelous Matt Harrower today. We had a fucking scream. Bought a shitload of comics very cheaply.
I must say, Matt Harrower holding up an issue of X-Force looks like a child at Christmas.
Yeah. Issue of X-Force 1. Guess how much it was?
25p.
It was 25p.
And do you know, the only reason I know that is because I saw the boxes in the background said 25p each.
25p.
And I thought, that is an absolute steal.
Yeah. I've literally got a rucksack of comics for like 25 quid. And they, great stuff. You can't beat it. Next one's September.
I always talk about how I want to try and get to these things. I never do. And because of the comic events that are coming at this time, I couldn't make this one. But how's about on the next one, Touchwood, in September, how about us three take a trip there,
yeah,
and we get some audio, our sort of like Famous Five do the Comic Mart.
That'd be great.
Yeah. See, we can have a shit comic competition, can't we?
Yes.
Oh, good idea. Let's do it. Yeah.
That's good hunting ground.
Yeah, definitely. Loads of old British stuff there as well. I mean, there's obviously the Jekyll DVD sellers. I don't know. They've been going there for years. I'm bored with them. But there's loads of old British comics.
Jekyll.
British comics. Jekyll. Didn't that take that long to go through?
Sorry, carry on. I've got that DVD. Go on.
Yeah. But there's loads of great stuff there. Yeah, really good. Yeah, it's well worth doing. Yeah. A big queue for it today as well. Lots of people going.
Yeah, awesome.
I do have a shout out.
Oh, go.
El Marvo, the comic I've been working on the past couple of months. It's all complete. I think the print issue might be sold out. I'm not sure if the lads are getting some more done, but you can certainly buy it digitally if you go to hawkandcleaver.com/shop/L-Marvo-digital. You can buy it there for £1.49, which is a great price.
Oh, good.
It's a 25-plus page comic written by Luke Condor and Ben Errington, artwork by myself, and the cover is done by Will Robinson, I think his name is. The chap who does the Great Lakes Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Robson. Will Robson. Robson.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
So go check it out. Let us know what you think.
Oh, nice one. Yeah, I saw Luke holding up the issue on Facebook. It looks great, mate. Yeah.
Top I've yet work, to see a printed copy. I can't wait. It looks good.
Mm-hmm. Looks bang on. Another thing that's pretty bang tidy is our extra bit of audio that we got this week. Tell us a little bit about it, Tony.
I went on a holiday and to purposely near where Pat is staying, and we had spent a couple of nights on the booze with Lisa. One night we went to a wine tasting. That's quite sophisticated of me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I put a tweet out saying, has anyone got any advice? And all I got was insulting shit through, which I was quite proud of.
Yeah.
About what to do with the wine, etc. But an absolute blast. So I apologise in advance. This audio is a little bit recorded after about five glasses of beer. It's all the funnier for that. Lisa, we've finally got Lisa on audio as well. I've been saying to her, come on, you've got to do an interview. Because Lisa really does sort of help organise and publish and edit a lot of the stuff that Pat does at the moment, and she needs to get her on more actually, because she's really interesting about how she goes about stuff. But Pat is very Pat is his usual really interesting self and talks about past projects and new stuff. We off tape we talked quite a lot about the Accident Man movie that's just finished production.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Which we're very excited about, and I've done an article on Accident Man, including some stuff about the movie with Scott Adkins for the mailer that I send out every week. But it's looking brilliant. I can't wait. I think Scott is hoping for a cinema release of it, which I'd love to go and see at the pictures. I would definitely go and see that. Such a good comic. So sort of totally anti-establishment. It's like the anti-Bond. He does not give a fuck. Really, really good. But this is the audio. A lot of it is about Pat's new book, The History of 2000 AD, which we've talked about previously, and about some upcoming projects he's got. Very good.
I'm here with Pat in a seafront bar in Marbella. It's Marbella here, isn't it? It's still Marbella, isn't it? Yeah. We've talked a bit about, let me get the title right, Be Pure, Be Vigilant, Behave, The Secret History of 2000 AD and Judge Dredd. Is that right?
Correct. Well done.
what have you got planned for it from now on? So the, as we're talking, the ebook has been out 2-3 weeks now?
Yeah, and so there will be a paperback version, and we're sort of looking at the cover designs at the moment to make sure we get that right. And probably be based on a Lichtenstein image. So we're probably going to put the artist through hell to get it right.
And not pay him, obviously, like Lichtenstein.
Well, I think it's that thing that Lichtenstein nicks stuff from comics. Yeah. So it's time comics nick something from Lichtenstein.
Yeah. So there's the paperback.
The paperback, and there's going to also be the audiobook version, which will be out in August.
Lisa's nodding.
Yeah. I'm trying to get her to say something, but she's not going along with it.
Of course, Lisa being the organiser of all this.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I've got to go in for training for 4 days of doing the audiobook version. And I'm going to try one or two accents. I'm going to probably do John Sanders, because I'm very fond of John, and I think I can do his voice fairly well. There's a bit in the book where he reminds us all that if we all get above ourselves, it's very cold out there on the street. So there might be the odd element of that sort of thing going on in my audio version. And then it's back to Read 'em and Weep and writing the second book, which is called Goodnight, John Boy.
So just quickly back to the audio book. Now, you were telling me you have to read it once through without being recorded. Is that right?
You have to read it through on your own twice, which is going to be quite painful for me.
It's not a short book, is it?
It's no, it's 280-something pages. You're meant to read it aloud twice on your own. And you're thinking, oh, my God. So I suppose I'd better do this, because if I don't, doubtless it will show up in... But I think the problem is, you see, that and I'm sure other authors are the same. When you read your stuff back, you think, oh, that line isn't that good, and you want to change it, and so on. So I literally have to drag myself away from a book.
So you don't want to look at it again, and you want to rewrite it as you're reading out.
Oh, God, yeah. I never stop editing things. I mean, it's like artists who have to be dragged away from their paintings, otherwise they keep altering them. Mike McMahon springs to mind, where here, especially on Mutomaniac in Toxic, he was changing the nose of the character and patching on a new nose and a new chin. And I think writers are just as bad.
Do you think they say read it through twice on the grounds that people won't bother, they'll just do it once? But I think if they say do it twice,
you know. Well, they've got there's a possibility, I suppose. I'm not meant to drink tea beforehand.
Avoid milk. Milky
drinks. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they can sort of clag your throat.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Are you going to have to sit in your office and read it out loud, do you think?
I will probably have to do that beforehand, yeah. And then you kind of go into the studio, and it's 3 or 4 days' work.
I'd love to see that on Read 'em and Weep as well. Is there no chance of that on that book as well?
Yes, there will be an audiobook version of that. But I think in that instance, I don't think there would be a reason for me to read it aloud. Yeah, okay. Because I think if you have a professional, an actor doing it, I think they would be very good at getting the different characters. I mean, you know, I've listened to several audiobooks, and, you know, they're very good.
There's a real art form to it, isn't there?
God, yeah. Yeah, I think it's only with a personal memoir that they want my involvement, yeah.
Well, because your voice is so known from is so known from the documentary and from appearances and podcasts. You've got that passion. That's what people want in the book, and it comes across from the pages, you know.
Yeah, and I think probably, especially when I get onto issues like money and being being badly paid and so forth, I imagine I should probably get start frothing at the mouth. Seriously.
Yeah. So with go back to Read 'Em and Weep then. So you've, as it's left with a, is it a detective sitting on the beach in Marbella, isn't it? Am I right in thinking that? So similar to where we're sitting there now.
Not that far off, yeah. Just along the coast a little bit. But yes, he's discovered, he's a retired cop, and apparently they all come out here. And in the 70s, of course, there was an awful lot who had to take early retirement.
There was a few cop come villains, I think, wasn't there? There was a little crossover period there somewhere, wasn't
there? Yeah, yeah. They all sort of, you know, open bars in Spain and everything. But he's read his grandson's copy of The Spanker featuring the Canine Commando, and he's realised that
it sounds so much better when you say it out loud.
and he's realised that that, you know, this is an incentive to you know, for kids to commit murder, and so our protagonist's dark secret is out there in the open, and obviously in book two that will be one of the very first things that will be followed up, you know.
Okay. So it's, how many books are you seeing in the series?
It's going to be four books altogether. In very rough terms, book one is kind of based around the battle comic period. Yep. So you have one of the protagonists producing Blitzkrieg, a German war comic. Book two is kind of centered around ARG, which is a kind of fictional version of Action.
Yeah.
And just as Action got banned, well, you can imagine ARG meets with a similar fate. Cool. And then on book three, we get to a kind of science fiction comic version of fictional version of 2000 AD.
Are you going to end up in America murdering people who work in, let's say, American comics? Shall we say that?
Well, that's very tempting, isn't it? I mean, at the moment, I think we've got it sort of shaped for four volumes. So the fourth one would feature a kind of girls comic equivalent of Misty.
Yeah.
Which is going to be called Raven, and it gets into the whole you know, mystery female comic stuff, and by that point the villains and the secret of the protagonist's mother, who was murdered under pretty strange circumstances, all is kind of revealed. But now at the same time, it is kind of tempting to extend beyond there. But I think quite why they would want to kill superhero editors, I'm not sure. I'm sure I could think of a reason.
I can see some, as the way you've parodied battle characters, you've got to be able to parody some superhero comics. You know, that's the way I was thinking of it.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think if the you know, if it goes down well with the audience over those four volumes, then we'd be crazy not to extend it beyond there and to get into you know, our various experiences that, you know, Kevin and I had on Martial Law, where we started off with Marvel Epic, and then we moved to Dark Horse, and now we're with DC Comics.
Yeah.
And in a similar way, you know, it's my experiences on, you know, working for the Marvel 2099 universe. So,
yeah
I've got enough insights, I think, into the whole Marvel bullpen. So it could be tempting. We'll see. We'll see.
Now, that parallels nicely with Defoe. And I think last week's 2000 AD, as we record, had a few references to publishers in it itself, didn't it? Or
yeah, just a bit, yes. I mean, the in the last Defoe, it's about chapbooks, which are the kind of comic books, cheap books, literally.
Yeah.
So it's the Pulp Fiction, the sort of preliminary publications that led to things like Penny Dreadfuls and so on. And so, yeah, I feature three publishers in Defoe who I think by the time, by the issues you've seen, they all die horribly. Have
yep.
you?
I think yeah. This week, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was very gratifying, yeah. So there's three of them.
Don't forget you used to be an editor as well. Yeah.
Well, I think my favourite, and actually it was kind of a very gentle one, was... we had a Scottish publisher,
right,
who was called Gordon Little, which is, shall we say, very inspired by Gordon Small, who was the editor of Jackie. And both Colin and I knew him. I mean, he's passed away now, but I think we're both quite fond of him. So it's quite a gentle sort of commentary there, because the he calls the the chapbook, the wannabe chapbook writer, into his office, and he said, "Here, got your big break. You know, we've got this new chapbook coming out, Golden Garland, with stories for young maids, and songs and stories for young maids. You know, it's the Jackie of its day." And so this chapbook, this wannabe chapbook writer, is thinking, you know, this is my big break, you know, it's my big opportunity. And then he explains that all he wants him to do is to sell it. In other words, so there's no, his dreams of becoming a chapbook writer are dashed. Okay. And one of the reasons is because Gordon isn't sure that he's couthy enough. And that stems from when I went for an interview, when I started working for DC Thompson. Gordon looked at me and he said, "I'm not sure you're couthy enough for us, laddie." I didn't even know what couthy meant. I'm not sure I still do.
So what have you got coming up in 2018? Because you've got some ABC Warriors stuff coming up, have you?
Well, the next one coming up is Grey Suit. And I just seen some of the latest episodes by John Higgins, and they are fantastic. It's they are so gruesome, and it's so cruel, and I'm very, very fond of them, because Grey Suit, without really giving the plot away, he's dealing with some leading members of the establishment and giving them the comeuppance they so rightly deserve. So it's very, very cathartic for me, and I think it's well done. I think he's done a really great job on it. It's very memorable.
Yeah, looking forward to that. So where can we get Read and Weep and Be Pure, Be Vigilant? Is it better if Lisa tells us?
Sorry, what was the question? I was too busy laughing at the salmon and the chicken bit.
Where can we get copies of the book from?
Well, it's available on Amazon, and I'm afraid we've gone exclusive on Amazon for the time being. See how that goes. And we are bringing out a paperback, which will also be available on Amazon. And that should be up maybe in about 3 weeks' time. It depends on how things go, and then of course there'll be the audiobook, which will be available not only on Amazon but from Neil Gardner's Spoken World website. I think it's going to go up on there first, and then it's going to be available on Amazon.
Oh, okay, because he's
Audible.
It,
yeah. So Neil's our partner on that one.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll put that in the links, but thanks, Lisa. Look at her, ain't that me? Thanks, dude. Cheers.
We bloody spoil you on this show, don't we? Hey? Wasn't that good?
Yeah, you can hear like the restaurant and the booze being necked in the background.
Yeah. I may have trimmed a couple of little bits because it just sounds like Tony's waffling on like a drunken lunatic. But thank you very much to Pat and Lisa.
Yeah, great. And we're getting, not spoiling anything, but with something's planned for them in the future.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, there you go. So there's been so much great comics awesomeness already in this show, but we've got even more because it's the recommendation section. So who wants to go first, chaps?
Shall I go first?
Go for it.
Okay, I'm still working my way through the buy pile that I got at LCAF, and the one I'm going to talk about today is a book called Tantric by Andy Barron. I know I briefly mentioned it before. He did a book previously as part of the Om Adventure series called Mantra, which I spoke about a year ago. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the previous one, and it's a sort of A5 book, like a bound book, that one. This is done slightly differently. It's almost magazine size, and the artwork is, the Mantra was kind of boldly coloured, if that makes sense. It's almost animation style covering colour. This has got more of a sort of pastely two colour effect on it, but it's huge. It's sort of transgressive and transformative, and it is very much an experiment in comics that to me pulls off. And the story could easily fit into, say, an underground comic, or I'll tell you what, where you would see it. Say you were we all went to a 1969 Grateful Dead concert in a little club. This would be the back projection. That would be, you know, the animated back projection as they're playing, and we're all probably off our faces on some kind of 60s acid. That's kind of where it comes from. The story, I'll explain the story a little bit. So there's a sort of faceless, pale-skinned creature, and he's crossing a sort of alien landscape. He doesn't really have any features, so he's got a blank face, apart from a tied-on pink nose and two stick-on protruding pink nipples stuck to his chest.
Lovely.
So right in the middle of the desert, he discovers a table, and on it is a pile of a sort of clay-type material, paints, and a jug of water. And he starts building from this this clay. He molds a body. So he realizes halfway through building it that it doesn't have an internal organ. So he splits open his own sort of thoracic cavity and pulls out his own internal organs and sticks them into this creature. And then he paints the creature pink. He removes his own nipples and adds them to the body. And then he gives it the breath of life. And then things only get weirder from that point. It's a really interesting experiment. It's the sort of work that I really enjoy. And whilst Andy does work in a sort of panelled comic framework, it's stranger than you would expect. Does that make sense? There's very little language in it. There's no words in it. And it's unfettered with that sort of senseless chatter that goes on in, and a comic like this shouldn't really have. And it doesn't have a particularly complicated storyline. And it's got a sort of beautifully strange quality to it. Really good stuff. I thoroughly recommend it. Buy a copy at andyillustrates.bigcartel.com or follow Andy's antics over on Twitter at omcomics, omcomics. If you manage to catch him at a convention, he does these dioramas of the characters.
Right.
You know, you used to do dioramas as kids. And you do, you know, they're almost like bits of card that stick up. You know, it's like a little theatre. He does sort of strange ones of those with all of his characters, and they look really good. But yeah, top bloke. So it's called Tantric by Andy Barron. That's my one.
Nice. Do you want to go next, Dan?
Yeah, sure. It's a comic we got sent through called The Last Hunt by Amigo Comics, which are Spanish publishers.
I've seen this cover about a lot.
It seems to be picking up traction on social media. It's written by apologies for the names. This is another one of the show tropes of us murdering names. It's written by Hanu Kisola and Ken Jenesens. Art by friend of the show, Paul Moore. It's absolutely fantastic. And colour by Beth Verini. It's a great book. It's very reminiscent of films like Alien and Dark Star, where it feels like a very like lived-in science fiction universe, and essentially it focuses on the crew of the ship, which is called Ragzen, and they have to do like a pickup, essentially like truckers, they have to do a pickup on what was formerly Earth is now just an absolute kind of toxic hellhole of shite, and where they're going down to the planet, their kind of ship hits some radiation, malfunctions, and crashes, and they're essentially going to be stranded on Earth for a couple of days to repair stuff. But they've got plenty of food and water, but they encounter three individuals on the planet, fellow humans, and that's where the story starts taking a bit of a detour. It's really well done. There's a twist at the end that I don't really want to spoil, but that lays the groundwork for it earlier on in the comic and all the way through. And when it kind of comes to the end, you're like, oh, it's really nice. It feels like it's kind of moving towards that alien thing of these kind of space jockey kind of people who kind of, this is what they do as a job. They're not like ultra tough space marines or whatever, and they've got to deal with this kind of situation, and they're stranded and up to their eyeballs in it. It's really nice. Paul's artwork is fantastic. The colouring is great. Yeah. There's some odd choices with the texturing that Beth makes early on, that she seems to kind of put a uniform textures on stuff, and then that kind of goes. So I'm not sure what happened there, but
okay.
It's a great comic because the surface of Earth is polluted in radiation. There's all this kind of rancid greens and browns in the colour palette. And this made some really nice choices. It's a great comic. I think you have to go. It popped up in previews, so you might be able to get it in shops.
Oh, it is in previews. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. That's good news for him. Yeah.
If you go to amigocomics.com, there's details there where you can pick up their titles. I thoroughly recommend it. It's issue 1 of 4, and I look forward to seeing the rest of the run.
Nice one. Cool.
Pretty good.
Awesome. My pick for this week is one that I've heard a fair bit about online, and it's been getting a lot of buzz. It's from Black Mask Studios. Black Mask, shall I say, Studios. And that is Beautiful Canvas. You guys heard of this one?
Yes. Yes, I have, yeah. Yeah, I get his mailer, so I've been reading a bit about it there.
Yes. This is the new Sammy Cavella and Ryan K. Lindsay book.
Nice.
Sammy Cavella is doing the art duties. Ryan K. Lindsay is the writer. Triona Farrell is the colorist, and letterer is Ryan Ferrier. And it really is, it's a team effort, and it's a team book, and they always state it in every sort of tweet or post. It's always, they're always shouting about the whole creative team, which is great, I think. I'm very pleased to say that it's one of those ones that you hear a lot of buzz about, and you read it and just think, yep, fully deserved, fully get
it.
Nice. And I'm on board for this. I got it on Comixology. This is the blurb on Comixology. Lon Isley is a hitwoman hired to kill a small child a few days after discovering her girlfriend pregnant. In a bold declaration of uncertainty, she saves the boy and hits the road, despite the fact her boss clearly wanted him dead for a reason. This warped crime dystopia delves into the emotional dichotomy of creator slash destroyer as Lon tries to connect the two very different worlds she now inhabits. I had no idea what this book was going to be about. I mean, you've probably seen the cover around. Quite stark sort of white image with the main character sort of sat down holding a gun. And on the flip side, you have a silhouette of a sort of white out silhouette of a pregnant woman against a burning city underneath. It's a very strong cover. But as for the story, I had no idea what I was getting in for. So, you know, going in blind, once I read it, I immediately tweeted. I rarely do this, but I immediately tweeted all the creators, just sort of say, "This is a beautiful work," and I said it's kind of like True Romance, like just on like hyper reality steroids.
Okay.
It really did have that sort of, you know, that atmosphere of True Romance, you know, the Tony Scott, Quentin Tarantino, that kind of vibe. And
yeah,
I love that film. That film's so good. But this really did have that sort of feeling to me. Halfway through the book, you know, I got halfway through it and I thought, right, this is a sort of gritty, sort of violent hit woman, sort of crime drama, you know, brilliant character work on play here. You know, you've got the assassin who's really struggling with their job. She's clearly very good at her job, but now that she's going to have a family, that changes things. But then around like the 20 page mark, something happened that I just did not expect to happen. Because I thought it was like a real world, you know, crime book. But then it takes right, minus spoilers. I mean, if you buy it, read it anyway. And this isn't a story spoiler, by the way. Absolutely no story spoiler.
First issue as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But it cuts to a load of sort of like super, they're almost like the Suicide Squad. They're like super powered sort of characters in the back of a van who are hired to go and get like Lon. And then you see you know, like there's a guy, there's a lizard-like guy. They clearly look sort of like a sort of Suicide Squad sort of team. There's a woman with like tentacles for arms, and there's a strange sort of bird man. And that completely hit me from left field, because until that point, it felt sort of quite gritty, sort of real world type stuff. There's no real sort of hint, but it's masterfully done because it works in the story. And then the payoff for the cliffhanger of issue one, you know exactly what world you're in for now. You know, it's just really, really nicely done. Okay. There's some great dark character moments. Like there's a bit, her, the billionaire boss, who's sort of like, you know, she's like a real nasty piece of work. And you see her looking over like a city on one panel. Sammy Cavella's work is amazing. I mean, he's been doing... he did Dear Editor, didn't he, if I remember correctly? Those two have worked together. Did they do Chum as well? I do believe...
Oh, did they? I really like that. That was my favourite one of his, I think. Yeah.
They're a tag team partnership made in heaven, these two. They're on the same page. Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of... You know, that sort of Garth Ennis, Steve Dillon... You know, when two creators are on the same wavelength. But there's this scene of like the billionaire looking over the city, and she looks like she's watering a plant. The way it's framed, and reading this on the guided view narrative had extra punch. The way it's framed, she just looks like she's watering a plant, and then it backs out, and it's a plant pot with a human hand in it, and she's just pouring blood over it. It's such a striking and sort of twisted visual that immediately sort of lets you know the psychology of this person. Great character moments. Is it, even though you have those sort of hyper real characters and shocking moments, it is a really emotive and beautiful story. I think Ryan's going from strength to strength with his writing. We definitely need to get him back on, because he's a dude that knows his comics as well. And he's got a nice sort of a prose sort of piece, like a sort of bit at the back talking about how the book was actually sort of therapy for him and as well, you know, because he's a father, etc. And you know, I love those little sort of written pieces that they're not over long. You know, you can take a page to just talk about your mindset and what went into a book. It's just really nice. I thoroughly recommend this. Well worth it. I'm on for the long haul, so be sure to check it out. Beautiful canvas. Which is on Comixology, Black Mask Studios. It's $249 digital, which is on the higher end, but it was actually worth it. And also, I've noticed with Comixology, when it comes to the backups, not everyone does a DRM-free backup, you know, when you can save a PDF or a CBZ file. Certainly, some of the books I've talked about, like the Europe comics, I think, don't do it. But Black Mask Studios... They all you can back it up. You can save a PDF to your hard drive.
Okay,
which is quite nice.
It's always the worry, isn't there, that Comixology will go bust?
Yeah, that's all gone.
And you're thinking, oh my god, all that money I spent on comics, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it helped when the Amazon money came in, when Amazon just snapped them up.
Yeah.
So, you know, what happens if you kind of bought a load of titles on Comixology and then the company changed the licensing rights for them to use that? Could they retroactively go back and take all that off of your library?
Well, I suppose so, because it's not live on your library, is it, all the time? You know, it's not saved to... I have the odd sort of trade saved to my iPad.
Marvel fell foul of Amazon. Is that right? We're pulling all our shit off of Comixology.
Yeah.
That'd be like your library, kind of.
I think one person to maybe ask about, Adam Cadwell. He did Blood Blokes, a series we love. That was done through Great Beast Comics. Do you remember them?
Yes. They closed down, didn't
they? They closed. So when he was releasing, I think, the latest issues, he had trouble. I don't want to say too much because I don't have all the details, so we have to find out some more. Have to get him on the show at one point. He's a great bloke.
Yeah, he's a long time coming, actually, Adam, isn't he? Yeah, we like his stuff.
Yeah. So, it's certainly interesting. I mean, for me, Comixology, if it all went down tomorrow... to say, I'm very much someone that I use Comixology for my weekly hit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get my fix there. I don't have my collection. I don't really buy too many trades on there unless it's like a ridiculous 69p trade, you know, to try take a punt on something. I remember I picked up first volume of Vision because that was like £2, I think, in a crazy sale. I don't normally buy trades because I prefer the hardcovers, you know, the hard copies.
Shelf porn.
Yeah,
if you want.
Yeah. I'm all about the shelf porn.
Yes. To me, I've just bought a load on there because I use it as holiday reading, because I know you can't fill your rucksack full of comics when you go on holiday.
But so it's like Iz was saying that, wasn't she? You know, it's perfect for that. If you just stock up on a whole load of books, you've got God knows how many pages with you at a click of a button.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it as well, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But in terms of collecting, I don't use it to be a collector. I use it as a reader. Does that make sense? I think
it makes total sense, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I do worry that we're putting all our eggs in one basket, some people are, aren't they? You know, especially when you're not near a comic shop.
Yeah.
You know.
I'll never be one of these people that sort of says, oh, I'm only buying digital from now on. I mean, I may do that with my weekly, you know, the Wednesday comics, shall we say, the big two comics. Yeah. I'm all digital there. But when it comes to like the small press stuff or the convention stuff or the graphic novels, I'm always about the dirty paper, as you say, Tony. Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Cool.
So there you go. Yeah. What a jam packed comic book show we've got for you there. Hey?
Mm.
God.
Yep.
We've treated them, haven't we?
Kind of.
Yeah. Kind of. It depends on your view of quality. Anyway, but we hope you enjoyed this show. If you want to let us know about any other events, we've got some cool... this has been an event show, and we've got plenty more to come, I'm sure. So if you want to let us know about some, several different ways you can do it. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, email us with events and other things at tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Also, if you still got a small press character that you want to add to our jam piece, send it to tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com, because pretty soon we'll have that soon.
Yeah. We've got about a month, haven't we?
We got about a month. Yeah. I've drawn my two, which are going to be added. So yeah, it's going to be good.
Nice one.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, look forward to seeing that.
Yeah. Well, let's hope I don't mess it up. But it's been hard work. Yes, follow us on Twitter at the Awesome Pod. We have a couple of very interesting topics for the next couple of weeks. So expect some polls and some questions, etc. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. Also, join the group that everyone's talking about. It's Awesome Comics Talk. Still going strong. Even if I don't check it every day, there's always some massive kind of post going on there. I see
we're
Susie Gander's
150 comments on something today.
Yeah.
I know Susie Gander has posted up loads of brilliant Periwinkle stuff.
Yeah, and got some great advice as well, I think. Yeah. She was sort of curious about a couple of things. She's about to go to print with it, isn't she? And asked advice and got advice straight away. Really good. Really pleased with people for that, yeah.
I think when I work on my next cover, I'm going to put it up there for feedback, because it's a great place and a lot of talented creators to kind of offer up opinions.
And it's never this is how you should do it. It's always people offering up opinions and advice, and that's what I like about it. Constructive feedback.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And we're never constructive, but
no.
But thank you for listening to us anyway. Whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com, if you listen to us on iTunes, leave us a cheeky review, get the word out, tell your mates, tell your mum. That's dangerous ground when you get to that point. And likewise, if you listen to us on the Stitcher or Podnose networks, just share the show. We've had a bit of an uptake in the show. It's great. Thank you for spreading the gospel of the Awesome Comics Podcast.
Yeah, numbers are on the up again, aren't they? It's good.
They are.
Yeah.
Cracking. It's amazing what happens when you get past 100 and you haven't done something horrible to yourself.
Yeah.
Where can people find us online, etc.? Tony?
Twitter is ezoyes. If you go to neverironanything.blogspot.com, you can find a couple of things I put up this week. I put up a book called Primus, which is a really interesting book that we got sent through this week.
Yeah.
which we will, I'm sure, talk about in a couple of weeks. It's about to hit Kickstarter, so we'll probably talk about it then. There's Something About the Human Beings, issue 2, which is a superb and very, very interesting read, which I suggest you have a look at and go to Stuart McCune's page and buy a copy. And also an old article I put up about people ripping off comics images and putting them on, describing it as proper art and selling it in, you know, the numerous grands, which is up there at the moment as well, which is I did a few years ago. And I checked back, I did an interview with the guy for Beard Rock when he was in existence, and went back and looked at his prices and saw, and after he and I had a bit of a heart to heart, and I said, look, this, these are images that don't belong to you, and he sort of admitted it. And then I went back and thought, oh, I'm going, so, you know, the old Facebook memory things come up.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah,
I'm going to go back and have a look at that and see what, if he's still selling this stuff. And yes, he is still selling it. I think some of the images for like $7,000 a time. So it's an interesting piece, guys. Go and have a look at it, and I'll be really interested to hear what people think about it.
That reminds me of that bloody jumper we saw. Remember, on StellaMcCartney.com, which I don't do my shopping
on
there.
The regs.
Yeah, I go to and check on the regs. No, I saw it on Twitter, some link, and I checked it out. There was, wasn't it a dandy character? On a jumper.
Yeah.
It's not even a nice jumper, and it's £565. How?
I don't know if it's licensed, but I know they're DC Thompson. They're quite hot and that kind of thing.
Yeah. But still, never mind that. £565 for a jumper.
You get one from the charity shop for a fiver.
Yeah. You'll probably be able to get that one from a charity shop in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I reckon you will.
Dan, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com. I'm a few pages away from the end of issue 13.
Yes.
How do you feel?
Right now, burnt out. No, fine, kind of creative-wise, just kind of keep punching it out. I'm looking forward to getting it done and moving on with other stuff.
Yeah, awesome.
The ACP comic.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Yes, and the Chris Imber project.
Oh.
It's coming on a pace.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why I'm making these noises.
I sent you guys a playlist, didn't I? We'll get
you did.
Oh, yeah, that's a new plan, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Playlist. We're just so cool, aren't we? We're so trendy.
We are.
You can follow me on Twitter at JesterDiablo. If you want to find out more about my comic, it's theredmaskfrommars.com. Thank you to Iz. Thank you to Pat and Lisa. It's been a cracking show. And we hope to see you at Cardiff, if you're going to be there. I won't be the diva that I probably sound like. I might be. But it's going to be a great day. But even if you're not there, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. Spread the word. And as always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
Too big for my mouth. You love it. Right. You did a wheeze.
I know. I did it on purpose. Like that.
What are you looking at me for?